So we are on Pei Tes Amud Aleph. We're up to the 17th line by the two dots, the first set of two dots. So the Gemara, again, continuing with the themes that we spoke about a lot yesterday. V'amar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, b'shash yaran Moshe milifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when Moshe descended Har Sinai and came down from receiving the Torah, bas satan v'amar lefanav ribono shel olam, Torah hichani. So apparently the satan had missed this whole party. The satan missed everything. He comes back after Moshe gets the Torah, and he realizes that the Torah isn't there. And he says, what happened to the Torah? He asks Hashem, where did the Torah go? So Amar lo, so Hashem says, Nisati al aretz, I gave it to the land. It's somewhere on earth. Okay, so Halach itzal aretz, the Satan goes to the earth. Amar lo, Torah nichan, he asks the earth, where's the Torah? Amar lo, so the aretz responds to the Satan, Elokim hevin darka. Right, the aretz quotes a pasuk, right, the pasuk from Eov, that only Hashem knows the way of the Torah. I mean, he was kind of almost like deflecting the satan, saying, you know, like, I don't know where the Torah is. Okay, halach itzal yam, he goes to the ocean, v'amar lo eini madi, the ocean says, the Torah's not here, halach itzal tahom, amar le ein bi, shenemar tahom amar lo vihi, v'yam amar eini madi. The ocean says it's not here, the depths say it's not here, the land says it's not here, no one knows where the Torah is. Then what happens? Avadon v'mavis amru, but Aznenu Shamanu Shima. So then Avadon and Mavis, which are references to different levels of Gehenna, to death, they say, oh, we heard a rumor about where the Torah is. So Chazar v'amar lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ribono Shel Olam. So the Satan comes back to Hashem and says, Chipasti b'chol aretz v'lo mitzasiya. I searched the whole world, I couldn't find the Torah. Amar lo, so Hashem says to the Satan, Lech itzel ben Amram, go to Ben Amram, in other words, go to Moshe. Halach itzel Moshe, Amar lo, Toran shenasan lecha HaKadosh Baruch Hu Leichani. So the Satan asks Moshe, where's the Torah that Hashem gave you? Amar lo, so Moshe says, Echi ma'ani shenasan li HaKadosh Baruch Hu Torah. Who am I that Hashem should give me the Torah? We know, of course, Moshe was, you know, was considered the most humble of all people, so he was expressing that humility. So Amar lo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe, Moshe, Badayata? So Hashem says to Moshe, what, are you a liar? Are you trying to trick the Satan? Of course, and oh, everyone knows that I gave you the Torah. So Amar Lefan of Ribono Shel Olam, Chamuda Genuza Yeshlecha, Sha'ata Mishtashea B'Bechol Yom, Ani Achzik Tova La'atzmi. Moshe says, I'm not trying to lie, stam, for the sake of lying. Moshe was saying that it's not appropriate that someone who's not, you know, again, Moshe obviously, as we said, you know, didn't consider himself to be such an important person, that I should, you know, attribute my name to your precious Torah, the Torah, the thing that you created, the thing that you take so much joy in, that I should stick my name on that. Moshe says is not appropriate. So Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe, Ho'olumi atata atzmecha tikra al shemecha, shenemar zichru toras Moshe avdi. Hashem says to Moshe, your reward for making yourself humble, right, in other words, for not wanting to take any credit for receiving the Torah, is the very fact that now I'm going to actually specifically associate the Torah with your name. As the Pasuk says in the beginning of Sefer Yehoshua, zichru toras Moshe avdi, that the Torah is referred to as the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu, because he was humble, therefore Hashem associated the Torah with his name. Okay, the Amar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, B'shash ala Moshe l'marim, again, when Moshe goes up to Har Sinai, goes up to Shemayim, Matzu la HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shehaya Kosher Ksarim la'osios. He saw Hashem tying crowns onto the letters. This idea is actually more famous from a different Gemara in Maseches Menachos, which is the whole story with Rabbi Akiva, when Moshe sits in on Rabbi Akiva's shir. There's a whole very famous Gemara in Menachos about this. But here, he just sees Hashem tying crowns onto letters. We know that there are certain letters in the Sefer Torah, specifically the letters Shatnez Gatz, Shin, Ayin, Tes, Nun, Zayin, Gimel, Tzadi, that have these crowns on top. If you ever looked at a Sefer Torah, you'll notice that they have these, you know, these crowns on top. So Moshe sees Hashem tying these crowns onto these letters. Amar lo Moshe, ain shalom b'ircha. So when Moshe comes up there and he doesn't say anything to Hashem, Hashem turns around to Moshe and says, is there no peace in your city? What that means basically is that Hashem was asking Moshe, why didn't you greet me? Why didn't you say, I don't know, like, how's everything doing? You know, like, what's going on? So Moshe says, Amar lefan of klum yeshevet shenosin shalom l'rabo. So Moshe says to Hashem, what kind of chutzpah would that be? If I'm an eved, I'm a servant, I'm going to go up to you, the master, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and start schmoozing with you and start engaging in conversation with you? That's crazy. So Amar lo, so Hashem says to Moshe, no, hayol lechala azarini miyad Amar lo va'ato yigdal na'kova Hashem kasher dibarta. So Hashem says, you should have at least wished me, some kind of hatzlacha, some kind of success in what I was doing, and tying the crowns onto the letters. And that's what Moshe did. Moshe Rashi says, "Va'ata yigdalna koach Hashem kasher dibarta." Hashem, your strength should be great, just like you spoke. Meaning, I'm giving you the bracha that you just asked me to give. Okay. Va'amar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, "May dechsev va'yar ha'am ki voshish Moshe, al tikrei voshish ela boshish." And the pasuk says in Parshas Kisisa, as the prelude to the Chet Ha'igel, the people saw that Moshe was delayed, was boshish in coming off of the mountain. The Gemara interprets the word boshish from the words ba'ushish, that Moshe had not yet arrived by the sixth hour in the day. What does that mean? B'shasha ala Moshe lamar, when Moshe went up to Shemayim, Amar lehen liYisrael, l'sofar ba'im yom b'schilas shesh ani ba. I'm going to come back on the 40th day at the beginning of the sixth hour. So what happened? L'sof mem yom, at the end of 40 days, ba'satan ve'irbe v'esha'olam, the satan came and confused or discombobulated the world. Amar lehen, Moshe ramchem hichanu. So the satan asks B'nai Yisrael, what happened to your master Moshe? Amar lo, they said to him, Allah lamarim, he went up to Shemayim to receive the Torah. Amar lahen, so the sudden said to him, yeah, bo sheesh, but it's already been 6 hours. He said he was going to be back by now, and he's still not here. V'lo hishkichu alav, but they didn't pay attention to the satan's, to his instigations. So then what happens? Mis, v'lo hishkichu alav. Then the sudden says, oh, Moshe died, and they still ignored him. But, hera lahen demus mitaso, but then finally, when the satan showed B'nai Yisrael an image of Moshe on his deathbed, he showed them an image of Moshe actually being dead, then they already believed him. That was what B'nai Yisrael said to Aaron, for this man Moshe, right, we don't know what happened to him, because the Satan showed an image of Moshe being dead to B'nai Yisrael, and that eventually convinced them that Moshe was dead, and that convinced them, to ultimately have Aaron, set up the eagle. Okay, so the Gemara now says, "Amar lehahume Rabbanan leRav Kahana, mi shmielacha mai Har Sinai." So one of the Rabbanan asked Rav Kahana, "What exactly does the name Har Sinai mean? Where does the term Sinai come from?" So Amar le, so Rav Kahana said, "Har shenasu bo nisim liYisrael." Maybe Har Sinai means the mountain where miracles were performed for the Jewish people. The Gemara says that can't be Har Nisai mi boyle. If that was the reason why it was called Sinai, it should have been called Nisai from the word Nis. Okay, maybe it's Ela Har Shenasa Simen Tov LiYisrael. Maybe it's the mountain that proclaimed good fortune for the Jewish people. That's also not accurate because Har Simanai Mi Boyle. Then it should have been called Har Simanai, the mountain of good fortune. So Amar Le, so Rav Kahana said, "My time alo shchichas kamei derav papa veravuna berei derav Yehoshua de ma'ane ba'agadata derav chista veraba berei deravuna de amri travayu my Har Sinai Har Sheyarda sin ala akum alav." So basically, the response to Rav Kahana was, how come you didn't show up to the shir that Rav Papa and Rav Huna Berei Rav Yehoshua were giving? Because they were ma'ainei ba'agarata. They were Amoraim who were known for being experts and for investigating and delving into matters of agarata. So if you wanted to know something in the realm of agarata, you should have showed up to their yeshiva, to their base medrash, and you should have learned by them. And the Gemara says the reason why we call it Har Sinai, Sinai comes from the word sinah, that when B'nai Yisrael received the Torah, that led to hatred being spread amongst the nations of the world that caused them to hate us. There were five names given to this mountain. It was called Midbar Tzin, Shenitztavu Yisrael Alav. Right, so Midbar Tzin was the name of the mountain. It was the name of one name because it's a reference to the fact that we were commanded about the Torah. Midbar Kadesh Shenitzkachu Yisrael Alav. It was also called Midbar Kadesh because we had to sanctify ourselves, right? We had to separate from our wives for 3 days before receiving the Torah. It was called Midbar Kidemos, Shenitna Kiduma Alav. The Torah is referred to in a number of places as the thing which preceded the world, from the word Kedem, from the word Kadam. So it's called Midbar Kidemos, that we received the Torah which preceded the world. Midbar Paran, Sheparu Viravu Aleha. It was called Midbar Paran because B'nai Yisrael procreated after Matan Torah, after they all went back to their tents, after they had to separate from their wives. So Rashi says each one gave birth to children after that. And then finally, the last name is Midbar Sinai, Sheyarda Sinala Akum Alav. Right? The last name, the name that we typically refer to it as, is Midbar Sinai, because again, it led to hatred of the Jewish people once we received the Torah. Umashimo, what's the real name of the mountain? Chorev Shimo. The real name of the mountain is Chorev. All these other names are alternate different names that allude to different aspects of receiving the Torah. And the Gemara just points out, Upliga de Rabbi Avahu. This interpretation is against Rabbi Avahu. De Amar Rabbi Avahu, Har Sinai Shmo. According to Rabbi Avahu, the real name was Sinai. The Lama Nikra Har Chorev. So why is it referred to as Chorev? Sheyar de Chur Vala Akum Allah, because it led to the destruction of the other nations of the world. Obviously, not necessarily in a physical way, but it led to the fact that they were pushed aside and pushed away from receiving the Torah. Okay, so this was all of the, again, we're not done with the Agadata part just yet, but this was everything relating to the very first part of the Mishnah that we had way back on Daf Pevav, where the Mishnah was asking about the, you know, where is there a remez for a woman who's poleta shechvazera, who has a, who, you know, who has an emission, right? So how do we know that she's Tamea for 3 days? So we've just addressed, yeah.
A question for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
It says that, the age for the Jews.
But yeah.
Every other nation was offered this Torah.
Okay, good question. That's a, yeah.
They all said that they didn't want it. So
correct. Correct. Again, there are a lot of ways to address that question. It's a fair question. You know, weren't they also offered the Torah? If anything, even before we were offered the Torah, but I think probably the simplest answer to that question is that their hatred of the Jewish people is probably retrospective. Meaning, you're right. At the time, you know, when they were offered the Torah, maybe it wasn't so appealing to them. They were like, you know what? You know, I'd rather not have to deal with, you know, not murdering, not committing adultery, not stealing, whatever it was. But once they saw that we receive the Torah and they see the way that the Jewish people live and thrive with a Torah, it could be that they almost had retrospective, like, you know, regret about not receiving it. And they're almost hating us, you know, retroactively in a way. I think it's probably the simplest answer. Okay, so now the Gemara goes back to the next question, the next part of the Mishnah, which again was kind of just mentioned almost tangentially, wasn't really, directly related to anything that we were talking about in the Gemara, which was Minayin Shekosher and Lashon Shel Zahoris. The Mishnah was looking for a source that we tie this red, this crimson string between the horns of the Seir La'Azazel, right, the goat that we send to Azazel, that we push off the cliff on Yom Kippur. So the Mishnah cited a pasuk from the beginning of Sefer Yeshayahu. So the Gemara wants to know, Kashanim, Kashanim Yiboile. The Gemara is referencing the pasuk that the Mishnah quoted, right, which said, Im Yihyu Chataichem Kashanim Kashelag Yalbina. Right, it's a very famous pasuk because we quote that a lot during Slichos, that pasuk, right? If our sins are going to be Kashanim, like crimson strings in the plural, right, Kashanim, not Kashani, so then Kashelag Yalbina, Hashem promises he's going to make everything white like snow, meaning to say he's gonna forgive all of our averos. So the Gemara starts out here with almost like a very technical, textual question on the pasuk, which is why does the pasuk say kashanim in the plural? It should have said kashani in the singular. If our sins are like crimson, they're like this red string, meaning we've done averos, then we ask Hashem to forgive it like the snow, to erase it like the snow. Why does it say kashanim in the plural? So the Gemara says, Amar Rab Yitzchak, Amar Lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeYisrael, Im Yihyu Chataichem Kashanim Halalu, Shesiduros Uvaos Misheshes Yimei Vereshes V'yad Achshav, Kashela Gelbinu. So the comes Rabbi Yitzchak and interprets the word Kashanim to not refer to crimson or red, but rather from the word Shanim that we're used to hearing from the word years. In other words, Hashem essentially is telling Bnei Yisrael that that even if your sins are so numerous that they equate with the number of years the world has existed since creation until today, I'm still going to forgive all of your sins. Meaning Hashem basically is echoing an idea that we already spoke about a little bit on yesterday's daf, which is no matter how far away you are, no matter how much you've sinned, Hashem says, I'm still going to come back to you. I'm still going to always, you know, there's still going to be a path back for you. Okay. Then the Gemara continues, Darash Rava, Mai dechsev l'chuna v'nivachecha yomar Hashem, l'chuna bona miboile, yomar Hashem, amar Hashem miboile. So again, the Gemara is going back to the same set of psukim that we just cited from Sefer Yeshaya, where again, it's in the same context of Hashem forgiving us for our sins. The pasuk says, l'chuna v'nivachecha yomar Hashem, let us come and be reproached or be given musr, yomar Hashem, Hashem will say. So the Gemara has two textual questions on this pasuk. First of all, why does the pasuk say lechuna? It should have said bouna, that you will come instead of you will go. And also, just grammatically, the Gemara says the pasuk seems to be in the wrong tense. The pasuk should have said amar Hashem, that Hashem spoke in the past, meaning Hashem already promised he would forgive us for our sins. Why does it say yomar Hashem in the future tense? So the Gemara explains laasid lavo yomer lahem hakadosh baruch hu leYisrael lechuna itzalavoseichem. Hashem says to us in the future, go to the Avos, and they will give you Musar. They will rebuke you for all of the sins that you've done. The Yomru Lefanav, and then we're going to push back to Hashem and say, Ribono Shel Olam, Eitzel Minelech, which of the Avos should we go to? Eitzel Avraham Sh'amarta Lo Yadoa Teda V'lo Vikesh Rachamim Aleinu? Should we go to Avraham? We know that Hashem told Avraham at the end of Parshas Lech Lecha, the whole story of the Bris Bein HaBesarim, and part of the Bris Bein HaBesarim was the fact that B'nai Yisrael were going to be enslaved to the Egyptians for 400 years, or for 210 years, however you interpret those psukim, right? We're going to be enslaved to them, and what did Avraham say? Nothing. Avram didn't daven for us. Avram didn't start asking for rachamim, right? So B'nai Yisrael are saying to Hashem, why should we go to Avram and start asking him for mercy? He didn't do that for us way back when you told him about all the crazy things that were going to happen to us. Okay, so then B'nai Yisrael continue. Eitzel Yitzchak, Shabirich Aseisav Hayak Asher Tarev V'lo Vikesh Rachamim Aleinu. Yitzchak, for sure not, because Yitzchak, what did he do? He gave a bracha to Esav, where he said, whenever B'nai Yisrael are sinning, Esav is going to be victorious. So he essentially set us up for failure also. So we're not going to go to him to daven for rachamim. And also, Eitzel Yaakov sha'amartalo anochi ereda mecham etzrayim avalo vikesh rachamim aleinu. And the same thing for Yaakov, right? Hashem tells Yaakov in Parshas Vayigash, I'm going to take you down to Mitzrayim. And, you know, and Yaakov doesn't say a word. He doesn't ask Hashem to undo the gezerah. So B'nai Yisrael are going to say to Hashem, why should we go to any of the avos? So Eitzel mineilech, Achshav Yomar Hashem. So B'nai Yisrael finally realized, you know what? Our only recourse, our only choice is to turn to Hashem directly. Amar Lehen HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hoel Uslisam Atzmechem Bi, Im Yihiyu Chatoichem Kashonim Kashal Yalbinu. Hashem says, because you put all of your trust and your faith directly in me and not in other people, even people as great as the Avos, therefore Hashem says, I am going to wipe away and I'm going to clean all of your sins. Okay. So the Gemara continues along the same themes. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Amar Rav Yonasan. May dichsiv. Gemara quotes a pasuk from Sefer Yeshaya. Ki ata avinu, ki Avraham lo yedaanu, v'Yisrael lo yakiranu. Ata Hashem avinu goalenu me'olam shemecha. So the pasuk basically just means, right, that I am your father because Avraham didn't know you and Yisrael didn't recognize you. I am your father and I am your redeemer forever. So what does this pasuk mean? Lo asid lavo yomer lo akadosh baruch hu la Avraham. So once again, Hashem is addressing the Avos here, right? But this way, Hashem is addressing the Avos directly. Hashem turns to Avram and says, Avram, your children, they're sinning. They're doing all these terrible averos. Amar lefanav ribono shel olam, yimachu al kedushas shemecha. Avram, what I think for most of us is a very uncharacteristic way that we would think of Avram. Usually think of Avram as a man of chesed, right? He's the epitome of chesed. But here, all of a sudden, Avram becomes like a very big, very big zealot. He all of a sudden says, you know what? If they're sinning, you should just wipe them out, kill them, they don't deserve to live anyway, because we have to make sure to preserve the sanctity of God's name. So Amar, okay, so Hashem says, okay, so obviously Avram is not going to help me here. So Amar le Yaakov, da havalei tzar gidul banim hefshir debay rachmei alayv. So Hashem says, you know what, let me go to Yaakov. Yaakov might be a little bit more sympathetic with the cause of the Jewish people. Why? Because we know famously from Chazal that Yaakov had a tremendous amount of pain and distress, both physical and emotional, in raising his children. Yaakov had a lot of issues with his kids, right? With Yosef, with Binyamin, with Shimon being thrown in jail, with Dina being raped, right? There were many, many, many instances of Yaakov having to suffer in terms of how he raised his kids. So Hashem says, you know what? Yaakov might be a little bit more sympathetic because he had to go through a lot of these struggles in raising his own kids. So Amar Leh, so Hashem says, okay, but Nechachatu, Yaakov, your kids, your children, your descendants have sinned. So what is Yaakov? Yaakov doesn't budge. Yaakov says the same thing that Avram says. He says, you know what? Wipe them out. They don't deserve to live if they're sinning. Okay, so now we're 0-2. So Amar Leh, I'm sorry, so Amar, so Hashem says, Lo b'savei taima v'lo b'dar d'kei etza. So Hashem comments, he says that there's no logic in older people, and there's no counsel or advice in younger people, meaning Avram was the oldest patriarch, Yaakov is the youngest, and neither of them are sticking up for the Jewish people. So Amar lo li Yitzchak b'nechachatu. So finally, Hashem's last recourse is to turn to Yitzchak, right? Hashem says to Yitzchak, your children are sinning. So finally, Yitzchak is the one who actually starts to bargain with Hashem. Amar lefanav ribono shel olam, b'nai v'lo b'necha. So first of all, Yitzchak says, are they only my children and not your children, right? Yitzchak says that when B'nai Yisrael said Nasa before Nishma, as we spoke a lot about yesterday, so Hashem described the Jewish people as B'ni V'chori Yisrael, my children, my son, my firstborn. So before you were calling them your kids, and now all of a sudden you're pushing the burden on me. So first of all, Yitzchak says, they're not only my responsibility, they're also your responsibility. V'od, Kamachatu. Now all of a sudden Yitzchak starts to bargain. Yitzchak says, how bad was it really? How many sins did Bnei Yisrael really commit? So Yitzchak actually starts doing the math. He says, Kamashnosov Shaladam, Shivim Shana. What's the average lifespan of a person? We know from Tehillim, 70 years. So Dal Esrin Deloa Nashta Alai. Okay, so now we can subtract the first 20 years of your life because we know that in Bezdin Shalmala, a person is not punished for their sins until they're 20 years old. So the first 20 years in Bezdin Shalmala don't count anyway. Okay, so Pashul Huchamshin, now you're down to 50 years. Okay. Dal Chafei Deleliusa, Pashul Huchafei. So now subtract, let's say, let's assume a person is sleeping for the equivalent of 25 years. Let's say, you know, for those 50 years, you sleep for half that time. So while you're sleeping, you're not doing any Averos anyway. So fine. So now we're down to 25 years. Okay. Dal Tarte Sre Ufalga de Saluye Umechalu Devesa Kise, Pashul Hu Tarte Sre Ufalga. Then subtract another 12 and a half years because you're davening, you're eating, you're sleeping, you're in the bathroom, you're drinking, whatever. Right? In other words, you're going about your daily life, basically. So that also takes away another 12 and a half years. So at the end of the day, we're really only down to 12 and a half accountable years of our life, essentially. So says Yitzchak to Hashem, Im atasovel eskulam hutav. If Hashem, if you want to bear the brunt, bear the burden of these 12 and a half years, then fine. But vim lav, if not, palga alayu falga alecha. He says, if you don't want to bear the full burden, you know what, so Hashem, I'll go 50-50 with you. I'll take the brunt of, of 6 1/4 of the years, and you'll take the other 6 1/4. The imtim salomar kulam alay, and if Hashem, if you're going to try to push all those 12 and a half years on me, Yitzchak says, that's not fair. Hakrevis nafshi kamach. He says, I was willing to give my life up for you during the Akedah. So, you know, like, basically Yitzchak was saying, cut me some slack here a little bit. You know, like, take some of the burden on yourself. So Paschu v'Amru, so once Bnei Yisrael heard about this, they said, Ata Avinu. They said, Yitzchak, you are our forefather. You're the only one who stuck up for us. So Amar Lohem Yitzchak, so Yitzchak says back to Bnei Yisrael, Acha Ata Mekalsinli, instead of praising me, Kalsula HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should praise Hashem. Umachvei Lohu Yitzchak HaKadosh Baruch Hu Be'inayu, and Yitzchak pointed to Hashem, Mi'anosu Einayim Lamarum Ve'omer Ma'ata Hashem Avinu Go'alinu Me'olam Shemecha. Yitzchak says, instead of davening to me, you should daven to Hashem, you should thank Hashem for saving you. And Amar Rabbi Chiya Barab, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Roy Haya Yaakov Avinu Leiri Le'mitzrayim Mishal Shalom.
The Gemara says that Yaakov Avinu deserved to go down to Mitzrayim in chains, in iron chains, the way that anyone going to exile or anyone being kicked out of their land would also be sent down in a way that was subservient, in a way that, you know, that embodied the fact that they were like a slave. But in the merit of Yaakov and his mitzvos and the merit of Yitzchak that we just spoke about, he merited to go down of his own accord instead of being forced down against his will. Okay, are there any questions?
You know, for me? I know, yeah. This is all a kind, yeah, of, but there, yeah, are plenty of sins you can commit at night, knocking off 25 years for the night.
I think the assumption is the hours that you're actually physically sleeping. I mean, I think it's kind of hard to do an Aver when you're actually asleep. I mean, I don't, as far as I know, I don't think it's really possible to do anything really when you're asleep aside from sleep, right? I don't know. You're right. I mean, listen, you're right. Nighttime itself is not free of sin, but I think the Gemara means specifically the hours when you sleep. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Hashem is going ahead and wanting someone to stand up for the Jews to
yeah.
A father is always more stringent than a mother.
Why okay.
Not the egos? Go ahead.
It's a great question.
Would have gone ahead immediately. They have more compassion.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's an excellent question. I don't know the answer to that. I didn't see anybody ask that question. I feel like that probably would have been probably a more direct route, because we know there are numerous Gemaras throughout Shas that talk about how Nashim Rachmanios, that women are more merciful, that women, you know, typically will have our best interests at heart more so than men. Yeah, I don't know. It's a very interesting question. Why Hashem didn't do that? I don't know. I'm not sure. Okay, so we have basically finished this part of the Agarata, and just in case you thought that we were done talking about the topic that we were talking about 10 days ago, you're wrong, because we're going to continue to talk about the topic that I'm sure most of you probably do not want to come revisit, which is how much of different items do you need to carry out on Shabbos to be chayav? If you thought we left that, we took a humongous tangent, a humongous break between the last time we spoke about that and today, but we're right back into that topic, and we're going to be on it for a little while again. So the Mishnah now continues, where the Mishnah tells us, Hamotzi Eitzim Kedei Levashel Beit Zakala, Tavlin Kedei Lesavil Beit Zakala, Umitztarfin Zeh Emzeh. The amount of wood that a person must carry on Shabbos in order to be chayav is enough to cook an easily cooked egg, and the same is true for spices. The amount of spices one must carry on Shabbos to be chayav is enough to spice an easily cooked egg, and those two shiurim combine with one another. So for example, if I carry out a half a shear of wood and a half a shear of spices, I would be chayav for that. Okay? Okay? Then the Mishnah continues. The Mishnah says, Klipe Agozin, Klipe Rimonim, Istis Ufua, Kedei Litzvoa, Bahen Beged Katan, Pis Tzvacha. So these are, the shells of nuts and pomegranate peels. And Istis and Pua are like these different plants that were used for dyeing purposes. So the amount of those plants and those shells and whatever that you have to carry on Shabbos to be Chayav is enough to paint and to color a small hair net that's put on top of a woman's head. And then the Mishnah says, Me Raglayim, Neser Uvoris, Kamolya Vashlag, Kidelachabis Beged Katan Pisavacha, Rabbi Huda Omer Kidelahavi Resa Kesem. So the Mishnah here is discussing how these are different things that were used as like different forms of like laundry detergent. So they used to use urine, they would use soaps, they would use these things called potash and simoleon earth. These were all different things they used to use as forms of detergent. So according to the Tanakhama, you have to carry out enough detergent again to clean the top of that little hairnet that a woman will put on the top of her head. According to Rabbi Huda, you have to carry out enough to clean or to remove a stain from your garment. So the Gemara asks, Tanina chada zimna, kana kede lasos komos, imhaya avo merusas kede levasho beitza kalash and bebeitzim trufo nasuna beofas. So what? Question? Good question? No? Okay, so the Gemara wants to know, why is the Mishnah basically repeating what we already know? In other words, the Mishnah starts out by talking about how much wood do I need to carry on Shabbos to be chayev. If you remember, the Mishnah earlier told us, all the way back on Daf Ayin Test, 10 days ago, right, the Mishnah told us that when it comes to carrying out a reed, so if the reed is too thick or it's too fragmented to be used as a quill, then the shear is enough to roast and cook a lightly cooked egg. So isn't that the same shear as the amount of wood that you have to carry out? Why is the Mishnah repeating that shear over here? So the Gemara explains, no, mahu de sema hasam hu de lo chazi lamidi, aval etzim de chazu lakacha de aklida afilu kol shehu kamash malan, because one might have thought that when it comes to a thick reed or a reed that's broken, you really can't use that for anything other than a form of firewood for using it to ignite a flame underneath the egg. Whereas when it comes to chips of wood, one theoretically could have used that to make, let's say, the tooth of a key, right? You could have used that to form part of a key. So one might have thought that the shear should somehow be different. So kamash malan, that the shear is not going to be different in that case. Okay. Then the Mishnah says, tavlin kedela tabo beitzakala, the shear for carrying spices is enough to spice an easily cooked egg. So asks the Gemara Urim Inu, tavlin shnayim begimel shemos mimin echad, o mishlosha minin, asurin umitstarfin zem zem. So comes the Mishnah Meseches Arla and is talking about spices that are Arla, right? Arla, we know, means the fruit from a tree from the first 3 years after it was planted, which you're not allowed to eat. So let's say I have spices that come from an Arla that are considered Arla. So the Mishnah is discussing if a person, because we know that Arla, in addition to not being allowed to eat Arla, Arla is also Asur Bahana. You can't get benefits. So in other words, if I have an Arla fruit, I could not use that as a dye, to dye clothes, let's say. So if I have, let's say, these different types of spices, so the Mishnah in Arla tells us that even if there are different types of spices, but they're all Arla, they would combine together. If, let's say, if there are three, different things of the same species, or three different species, or three separate species, they would combine together to make Michayav. So comes Chizkiah and qualifies that the only types of things that we're talking about, the types of spices that we're referring to here, are spices that are mine metika, that are used to sweeten the pot, that are used to make the food taste better. So the Gemara says, Taima de chazu lamasik esakadera halav hachilo. The Gemara says the implication of the Mishnah and Arla is that the only spices that have any sort of chashivas to them are spices that are meant to spice up or to give flavor to the pot, right? In other words, that add a good flavor to the pot. The implication is, however, that regular spices are not considered chashiv, which would therefore be a problem for our Mishnah. How can our Mishnah imply that a person is chaya for carrying regular spices on Shabbos, if this Mishnah and Arla seems to imply that I'm only chayav, or when I use these very high quality spices that are meant to sweeten the pot? So the Gemara answers, you're right. The Gemara says, Hachanami, I'm sorry, the Gemara says, yeah. When the Gemara says, Hachanami chazulamat, the Gemara says, you're right, the spices in our Mishnah are also those high quality spices that are meant to add this flavor. But in general, if I had a spice that wasn't on that level of lamatik hakadera to sweeten the pot, then in fact I would not be chayav for carrying that on Shabbos.